Now, to keep up in our reading of Isaiah, you'll want to read verses or chapters 44 to 49. I'll be touching on a few things from those chapters, but focusing in on chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and who came from the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. For they call themselves after the holy city and stay themselves in the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. The former things I declared of old, they went out from my mouth, and I announced them. Then suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead brass, I declare them to you from of old. Before they came to pass, I announced them to you, lest you should say, my idol did them, my carved image and my metal image commanded them. You have heard. Now see all this. And will you not declare it? From this time forth, I announce to you new things, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. You have never heard. You have never known. From of old, your ear has not been opened. For I knew that you would surely deal treacherously, and that from before birth you were called a rebel. For my name's sake I defer my anger, for the sake of my praise I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel whom I called. I am he. I am the first, and I am the last. My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand forth together. Assemble, all of you, and listen. Who among you has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He shall perform his purpose on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken and called him. I have brought him, and he will prosper in his way. Draw near to me. Hear this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your offspring would have been like the sand, and your descendants like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from before me. Go out from Babylon. Flee from Chaldea. Declare this with a shout of joy. Proclaim it. Send it out to the end of the earth. Say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock, and the water gushed out. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Let's pray. O Lord, as we come before you this morning, help us to have our ears open to your word. And help us to have our hearts ready to be molded by you. Lord, as we look to you, we remember what you have done. But we look forward to the new things that you continue to do in our lives. Be with us now. Help us to both understand your word and to apply it to our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We go back a little bit to Isaiah chapter 44. We left off at the beginning of the chapter last week. And then Isaiah goes into this wonderful section. I would encourage you to read the whole thing about the folly of idols, and just shows the people very dramatically and very clearly what folly it is to trust in something that cannot be a god. But he calls his people to remember. Chapter 44, verses 6 to 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. There's no one else that you can trust in. There's nothing that you can make that will help you if you turn away from the true God, from the God who has made you. And he calls his people and wants them to remember, wants them to remember what he's done in the past and look forward what he can do in the future. He says in verse 21, remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. The promise of redemption is all throughout the book of Isaiah. And the way that God would bring about that redemption is being made more and more clear as he goes through this book. In the next couple of weeks, we will see the suffering servant coming. And the picture of Jesus Christ coming and shedding his blood on the cross for our sins, for our Redeemer, taking our place and giving us eternal life. It's just an amazing thing how God sets that out in this book. Now, as he's talking to this people, though, there are the people that have been hard-headed. You notice that in the reading of 48, chapter 48. They are hard-headed people. They're not getting the message. So he's declaring to them before it will happen how he is going to send them into exile, but then also how he is going to bring them back. And he even names the one who will bring them back, and that is Cyrus. And we see that at the end of 44 and in chapter 5. We see the coming of Cyrus as that messenger from God who will bring the people back into the land of Israel. Chapter 44, verse 28. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill my purpose. Saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple your foundation shall be laid. Here is Cyrus coming and allowing God's people to come back in to the land of Israel. Why? So that God could bring the suffering servant. So that God could bring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world. When the time had fully come, he brings Jesus into the world to give himself for our sins. Down in chapter 45, verses 5 through 8, we see that Cyrus, it wasn't that he was knowing that he was serving God, but he was just God's instrument, and he's used of God even though he doesn't even know him. 45 verse 5, I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, the Lord, have created it. God brings Cyrus to bring his people back so that he can accomplish his purposes. And we're called to remember. Chapter 45, verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you survivors of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry about their wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. Declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told you this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed all who were incensed against him. In the Lord all the offspring of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. We see there that God is showing himself over and over again to his people. And he wants them to see how he is at work, how he is continuing to work in their midst. Chapter 46, verses 8 to 13, we see that again. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart. You who are far from righteousness, I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion, for Israel my glory. Remember, remember, remember. Remember what God has done. Remember what God has told you. Remember that he is at work, and he is the only true God. Remember. Saw a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie this week. It's called Remember Sunday. And the main character of the story had a brain aneurysm. And it wiped out a large part of his hippocampus, so he has no short-term memory. Well, he has short-term memory for a day, but when he sleeps, all of that memory disappears. So when he wakes up in the morning, the only memories he has are from before the aneurysm. And he wakes up and he has to read what happened in the last day or so and what he's supposed to do, where he works and all of that. He has to read that every day so that he can go out and live a new day each day. Everything new every day. Can you imagine living like that? Just the only memories you have are those that are written down, or those are really old. Well, it almost seems like God's people are just about like that. There's no memory. Over and over again, they just go to the making of wooden and metal idols and sticking them up, and God says, what are you doing? Can't you see that something you make is not going to help you? Can't you see that it's just something that you're looking to that has no power to save, no power to do anything? Over and over again. Until finally, he sends them out to Babylon. And they finally get the message. But they still have problems. He's going to bring about new things. He's going to send them to Babylon. He's going to, though, also bring them back into the land and bring something else. Bring the Savior into the world. These are a hard-headed people. If you look at the beginning of 48, beginning in chapter verse 3, the former things I declared of old, they went out from my mouth and I announced them. Then suddenly I did them and they came to pass because I know that you are obstinate and your neck is an iron sinew and your forehead brass. They are a hard-headed people. Anyone ever call you that? Hard-headed? It's been mentioned to me a few times, but they're not getting the message. It's not sinking in. And so God says, okay, I'm going to do it a little differently now. I'm going to make sure that you can see that I am God, that it's not a carved image and it's not something you've molded out of metal that's going to save you. I am going to tell you before it happens what's going to take place. I'm going to tell you new things so that you can see that I am God. Looking down in 6 to 8 of 48. You have heard, now see all this, and will you not declare it? From this time forth I announce to you new things, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. You have never heard, you have never known. From of old your ear has not been opened, for I knew that you would surely deal treacherously, and that from before birth you were called a rebel. I'm going to give you new things. What are those new things? Well, there's at least two new things that he's going to show them so that they don't return to the idols. First of all, he's going to bring Cyrus in. He's going to send them into Babylon, and then he's going to bring Cyrus to bring them back. But more importantly, he's going to open up how he will redeem his people from their sins. And as we go through the next few chapters, we'll see that it's very clear that he's talking about Jesus coming into the world and giving his life for us, living that righteous life that we could not live, and then dying on the cross that we might be saved, and then being raised again and ascending into heaven to sit at the right hand of God. It's very clear who Isaiah is talking about, and this is the main new thing that we'll see. Cyrus is the first thing, but then comes our Lord Jesus Christ. New things. Now, he's going to tell them these new things so that they'll get rid of those idols. The things of wood and silver. And that does happen in Israel. When they come back from the time in Babylon, and they're brought back into the land, the problem isn't the idols of wood and silver anymore. But when Jesus comes on the scene, what are the idols that they're serving? Well, the Pharisees are setting themselves up before the people in their pride and in their self-righteousness and saying, this is how you live for God. And they weren't living for God at all. They were living for themselves. Their pride and their self-righteousness had taken the place of the wooden and silver idols. And they were just looking at themselves instead of at God. They made new man-made gods. Do we still do that today? Yeah. We see it all over. The film we saw the last couple weeks over at Greg and Karen's talked about some of the gods that people are making. Didn't refer to them that way. But the fact that they're trusting in themselves and looking at science or looking at money or looking at whatever to be their Savior. We have one Savior. God has seen fit to save us from our sins, to bring us to Himself, to give us eternal life through our Redeemer, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Don't put anything in front of Him. So there are new things that Isaiah is going to be talking about, and we should see those new things. We should see what God did in bringing the suffering servant into the world, what God did in bringing Jesus Christ into the world to save us from our sins. These are the new things that Isaiah is talking about. Not only are we going to see new things, we're also going to have new tests. We're going to be tested. Look at chapter 48, verses 9 to 11. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. The people of Israel will see new tests, and we see those tests as well. We see those trials that we have to pass through trusting in our God. Now, there's something different about this passage, though, than we see in most of the times that it's talking about refining in the Scriptures. Most of the time it says, I'm going to refine you like silver, or I'm going to refine you like gold. But notice that's not what he says here. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. Why not? What's the difference here? Now, God does refine us, and he says that he refines us like silver in other places. But he says, but not as silver. Why? Well, I think it goes back to verse 9. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you. God is showing restraint. Guess what? If he had just taken this people before they went into Babylon and refined them as silver, as soon as he applied the heat and the dross came off, guess what? It'd all be dross. There wouldn't be anything left. God didn't do it as silver. He worked in this people. He brought them along. He brought them into Babylon. He showed them with Daniel and others how they needed to trust in their God and how they needed to live for Him. And then he brought them into the land so that when they were refined, there was something there, something real, something true in their faith. Then they were refined as silver. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. He brought them into the land of Babylon so that they could see who their God was, so that he could preserve that remnant of his people and then bring them back and bring into the world the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the suffering servant, the one who would save his people from their sins, our Lord Jesus Christ. So that we would all know who God is and how he redeems us. Does God continue to bring us new tests to refine us? Well, when we went through the book of 1 Peter, it was clear there that God is still at work doing those things. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God continues to test his people so that we might see that hope that he is taking care of us, that he is redeeming us, that He has a place in heaven reserved for us, and we can rejoice with a joy inexpressible. New tests. How are you doing in your tests? As you're living your life, are you doing the things that God is calling you to do? Are you seeing His work in your life as He changes you, as He uses you to bring the gospel to other people? Are you seeing the outcome of the tests that God has given as you grow and as you spread His word? Now, at this time of the year, many people are sort of finishing up their school year, and they're taking a lot of tests. Now, Devin's already done with his. Hopefully, he did pretty well right then. The tests are coming. What are those tests for? Well, they're tests to see how much you know and to show something for the work that you've done. We are tested all the time. We must rely on the things that we know to be true of God. We must rely on the fact that God is at work. And God is using us. What's the outcome of your test? Well, hopefully it will be growth. Hopefully it will be a renewed confidence in what God has done and what God continues to do in your life. Rejoice in Him. He has given you tests to build you up, to make you stronger, to allow you to live for Him. So we have new things. We have new tests. And as we go through those things, we will have a new peace. I'd like to read verses 16 to 19. Draw near to me. Hear this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now the Lord God has sent me and His Spirit. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your offspring would have been like the sand and your descendants like its grains. Their names would never be cut off or destroyed from before me. Now in verse 16, we see a different speaker coming in here. Draw near to me, hear this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. Now the Lord God has sent me and His Spirit. Now this isn't Cyrus that's talking here, because Cyrus doesn't know God. He's sent by God, but he doesn't know God. Here we have the one that God had promised to be the Redeemer for His people, the one who would save His people from their sins, the suffering servant who we're going to hear more and more about as Isaiah goes on. Now the Lord God has sent me and His Spirit. One of the promises of the new covenant is not only that Jesus came and shed His blood, the blood of the new covenant, so that we could be saved, so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be brought into God's presence, but not only that, God would send His Spirit to work in our hearts, to open our hearts, to change our hearts of stone to a heart of flesh, so that we could see His Word and the truth of it, so we could live for Him. And His Spirit is dwelling in every believer out there. If you know God, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then He sends His Spirit to you as well. Now the Lord has sent me and His Spirit. We have the blessedness of having the Spirit of God in us to help lead us into all truth. What will be the result if we do listen to that Spirit? If we do trust in the Redeemer? If we trust in the suffering servant that God will send? Well, it will be what the people of Israel were missing. They were missing because they forgot to listen to God. They were missing because they kept running away to other gods. If we pay attention, then peace will be like a river, and righteousness like the waves of the sea. That's what should be taking place in our lives. We should have peace. And we should see God's righteousness in us. Peace like a river. And righteousness like the waves of the sea. We should see the blessing that comes from knowing the true God and living for Him. In that movie, Remember Sunday, the main character who kept losing his mind, or losing his memory, I guess, he was an astrophysicist, and he's talking about comets. And, you know, comets come along every now and then, and sometimes we get what's called a lost comet. It just doesn't come back for a while. Is the comet gone? Well, some of them may be gone, but many do eventually come back. And guess what they say? When they come back, they say that they are found, which made me think of something else where there's something lost and then found. In Luke chapter 15, we see a lost sheep that is found. We see a lost coin that is found. And what happens after those things are found? They rejoice because what was lost is now found. And the last one in Luke 15 is the lost son who is lost and that is found. If we look to the new things that God is bringing, if we look at the new tests that He brings into our lives to mold us, to shape us to be more and more like Him, we will see the new peace that He gives to us as we are found in Him. What was lost has been found. We can look to Him and trust in Him and see how He finds us. Not only that, we can see how His work can be found every single day. His mercies are new every day. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As you get up in the morning, hopefully you haven't lost all your short-term memory and you know what's going on and you don't have to read about it every day. But as you get up in the morning, remember that God is there. That His mercies are new every morning. That He will bring His peace like the river and His righteousness like the waves of the sea if we trust in Him. His mercies are new every morning. Find them and live for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You do refine us, that You shape us, that You bring us tests so that we might rely more upon You and might trust more in You. Lord, help us to look always at what Jesus Christ has done for us in shedding His blood for us on the cross and giving us the redemption that You have shown us. And Lord, help us to look every day for the mercies that You bring into our lives, for the way that You bring us along and bring us into Your righteousness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.